Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Great to be with you on a Redemption Thursday, opening day, Major League Baseball. Let's do it. On Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. There's Director Matthew. And away we go. Florida State, Louisville. This afternoon, this evening, I should say, and of course the show right after it, we will head on over to Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Look forward to it as we'll sit back and watch a little Major League Baseball. Good times, good times.
I love this day. This is one of the great days, great events that we have. We've got some that are more formal and buttoned up, and there's a presentation of sorts with a show. And then there are some where we kick back and relax, and this is in the latter category, and it's always a good time. And I can't believe it. I asked Bill on Saturday, I said, hey, man, inflation being what it is, you want to make it a $3 hot dog? You want to make it a $4 hot dog, $4 beer? It's still a great deal. And he said, no, let's keep it $2.
Keep the tradition
alive.
My man. $2. That's what we're doing here. I love it. It's perfect. Listen, it's creature comfort for me. It's a sport I love, and it's a start of a very long process where, I value the hell out of Major League Baseball's regular season in a lot of ways more than the postseason. Just the pacing of it all, and I think the challenge of 162 games is something to behold. It is a slow process, but one with an attention to detail that is rewarding. So as somebody who has the baseball package, this is the sport I immerse myself in more than most. It's in football, it's a race. It's very short. It's compact. It's violent. It's hostile, and it's awesome. And it's the coolest thing, and it's of itself, and it's different, and all those things are true. Baseball's leisurely, man, and it signifies being outside in very long days and just that kind of thing. It's a different vibe altogether.
I'm telling you, I have such a greater appreciation for why I think the culture up in the north loves the sport. It's because they're so pissed off.
Yes, of course, like, they would be.
I'm feeling the pissed off thing that they feel. Like, gee darn it. Gosh darn it. We could stand with some warm weather here. And it does signify better times ahead, the beach, the breeze. I have a greater appreciation for it because here we're so spoiled. On opening day, that's when we have our best weather of the year. Like, not named November. This time of year in Tallahassee is magical. It's beautiful today.
Well, and also in the last couple of years, now this is very show-centric and what we do and local and all those things beyond, sort of just maybe big picture stuff. But it's always right around when we're about to have the golf tournament, and I love working. First of all, we get great people who come out and they put together teams, and it's for charity. It just makes you feel better. You're working with the Second Harvest of the Big Bend. They're awesome people, and they do great work, and I'm very fortunate. Listen, I lend my name to this thing over the years. Most people other than me put it together and do all the work, and I try to say thank you as much as I can to you, Tom, and to everybody else that's involved because, again, I'm in a good position where we've built up little cachet over the years, and so we're able to do good for people. That's what I mean by that. That's not an egotistical thing. And it's also a situation where I don't have to do much other than show up and have a good time. But it's a perfect time of year, and it's a series of events. It's this. It's FSU baseball. It's the spring game. It's the fact that we're out at practice. Now, today we will not be out at practice because, unfortunately, the scrimmage is closed. We don't get to see it. We don't get to none of that. We'll all do our best to reach out to sources and get a sense of what happened in this scrimmage. My interest is greatly piqued about this particular scrimmage and really any of the forthcoming scrimmages because the competition is so intense. But if you put all this together, it's a mashup of awesome times. Today is the Sweet 16. We get the start of the Sweet 16, and I think I got bets on six of the eight games. I've got, and I'm not just saying that as a degenerate gambler. I'm saying it's just, it's fun. It's a sports action, and I love the Sweet 16. So we'll watch and have a good time with it. I got the start of baseball. We got intense games down the stretch in the NHL and the NBA. You have all of that. We've got the fourth, as I mentioned and alluded to, the spring game in the not too distant future. Florida State baseball bounced back nicely on Tuesday, beat the brakes off of Florida and humiliated that program. And now you have a chance to kind of rectify an ACC woe from the weekend before. Just a lot that we all love. And, oh, by the way, the Masters is 2 weeks away.
That is correct. These are all good things.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm not a huge fan, and I understand what's going on this weekend, why you do Thursday to Saturday series. I'm not a huge fan of those series until Thursday, like the of that week. I go, oh, well. Bonus, fortune smiles.
Yeah.
6 o'clock first pitch tonight for Florida State. That's great. Well, I think we've got two of those series this year. I think, is Miami maybe Thursday to Saturday as well in a couple of weeks? At any rate, you're right. There's a lot of things on the tube. I'm glad we're going to be at Corner Pocket for that reason, because they have enough TVs to handle everything that's going on and then some.
Yeah, you know, by the way, there are, you know, one of the things I like about baseball fans and sports fans, really, sports fans all the way around, is we're very good at finding workarounds. We're very good at finding illegal pathways to watching anything we want to watch in regards to baseball or the NBA or the NFL.
The director's got a PhD in that.
Well, yeah, because he's young. The young people that came up after us have been very good at being basically criminals when it comes to watching movies, pirating music, finding ways to see anything that's behind a paywall that they want to see, or blacked out. I mean, they're hardcore criminals, and I admire them for it. It's the best thing their generation's done.
Well, you should, because I think the P on the hat you're wearing stands for Proud Papa. You had the unlocked cable box.
I did.
You had a hookup at a record store.
I did.
You had LimeWire.
Well, the world had LimeWire.
I know, but
Tom,
you know how to use it. I'm saying that this is not something that's
I relied on the kids.
The kids are criminals out of nowhere, and where do they get it from? I mean, my man, yeah.
You had to make
You had the ways. You knew the ways.
Well, and the best one I ever had was the DirecTV illegal card to watch every...
Oh, so satellite, forgive
satellite,
me.
Satellite,
yeah, the unlocked satellite box.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that's still a thing anymore. I'm long since removed. I know the latest thing that was the most similar to something like that was the illegal... Director Matthew knows. He helped me out with this one time. What is that, the Fire Stick? That you break the Fire Stick there and you can see all the movies and everything else?
That's right.
I don't know that the Fire Stick is working as well as it used to, but that was a thing there for a while.
I got too queasy, and you guys, I remember at the old studios.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember you trading info, and I kept asking him. I think probably 60,
you kept waiting for people to get busted, but we didn't get busted.
60 times, I think I asked him. I said, you sure? You sure this thing's going to work? He's like, just buy it, and I'll fix it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not so sure. And it worked. Apparently it worked. Maybe I could get a cable box up there and just use, I don't know, put a nickel in the right slot and somehow it unlocks everything that I need to get.
Well, why did I bring any of this up in the opening segment? Well, because Major League Baseball and the NFL does this in a weird... Other leagues do this too. The blackout rules are insane. I live in Tallahassee, Florida. The Pirates play today in Miami. And it's blacked out with the MLB app.
Yeah, you got to go find you a Bally Sports Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
Go to hell. Go to hell with that nonsense. I'm effing 7 hours away from that game, from that stadium. What are we doing?
Yeah, Braves games aren't blacked out.
It's the dumbest thing. What? Stop it.
And that's four.
They got to figure out their blackout rules. Now, I'm going to see the game, and we'll be at Corner Pocket, and we'll be able to watch it. And
you won't get your announcers, you know?
Yeah, and I'll live with it. We play four against the Marlins. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We get four.
At least it ain't Rich.
And I'm at, yo, buddy. Henley.
Hey, yeah. Opening day in Miami.
Yeah, thank God it's not. But
Hermes in the house.
I'm just thankful that over the years, I could call somebody much younger than me, and say, what sort of a legal means do you have to watch all of these games at once? Because I don't you hold that on me, young man. I know damn well you're cheating the system, you thief, and I admire you for it. You got to let me know.
The Marlins announcers have gotten a little bit better over the years.
They're much better.
And they brought Tommy back in. He was never the problem. It's just together, those two did not
make
beautiful
Tommy,
music.
I like Tommy, actually. Yeah. I actually met him and had a good conversation with him.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, but and he would get mad. He
Rich
made me
would
laugh.
Get him riled up and he'd get him off topic. And Tommy is great. He's sarcastic. But one of my favorite things about living up where I am is I don't have to deal with the Marlins broadcast. It's on my television. Could you imagine getting Rooch Sports instead of the Marlins? For the seven or because we're in the division, it used to be 19 times I'd have to watch.
Yeah, you'd have
19.
To deal with it. You'd have to deal with it. Yeah,
F that.
Toby's out here throwing shots in the chat, the Heisen Linka Law Firm chat early. Which, by the way, Matt Lasser, fantastic cohort here at War Chant, is bitching about he can't even watch the Red Sox when they play Tampa.
Sure, yeah. You can. Bally Sports app.
Yep, but
$15 a month.
There it is. Toby taking shots at the great franchise.
Tell Gene to give you a raise.
Five-time World Series champion Pittsburgh Pirates. Best stadium in baseball. And they do go to games. They have the worst owner in major sports. And if Bob Nutting were to be killed today, it would be okay. Now, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. It's that the greatest fan base in baseball is unfortunately having to deal with, yet again, for a long period of time, the worst owner in baseball.
Do you think if you guys were consistently good, your fan base would be as annoying as the Steelers fan base? Do you think it's a one-to-one ratio?
Every bar there'd be Pirates fans? No, I don't think so. Pirates fans are great fans, and if you go to a game there, you'll like Pirates fans. They're very knowledgeable. They go way back, all that. But it is interesting.
On a Sunday, you go to a bar.
Right. I do separate it. I think, the nature of the sport's very, very different. Because there's probably – well, I'll just say this. Steelers Ooh. Fans are unique.
Okay, yeah. I see where you're going. Baseball fans are more sophisticated by nature. I see you.
They're smarter. There's no doubt about that. You can say more sophisticated. I'll say smarter. I think it's 100% true. It's interesting to listen to watch Steelers fans. I have a love-hate thing with Steelers. I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan and have been my whole life, so that's different. But I think what's interesting about, I can admire fan bases that I don't maybe like their team. There are teams who, there are franchises in every sport that maybe I don't like, but whose fans I respect. Because you kind of, as you get older, you recognize there's bad fans in every fan base, and the potential for you to have a bad experience in any particular game is always there. It's omnipresent if you're the road fan. Some, it happens more persistent than others, and so you kind of begin to differentiate, for example, the difference between a Miami Hurricanes fan and, say, a Florida fan. You don't have to like either, but you could point to the fact that Florida fans, most of them went there. Miami fans, none of them went there.
And they'll tell you.
None of them went there. Right. So it's like, and you might meet one. If you meet a Miami fan who actually graduated from Miami, he's probably a doctor or a vet or a dentist. He's smart. He's interesting. He's somebody, or she is. They're personable people. But they're so few and far between. I mean, nobody goes to those games, speaking of not going to games. And certainly the people that do were not the ones that went there. Those fans haven't been to the campus ever. They'd be thrown off or jailed if they stepped foot on those campus, on that campus. So it's a weird thing about fandom.
So you think Hurricanes fans are Steelers fans?
No, you have this weird hatred for Steelers fans. I just think they fill up bars and it makes you mad because you got to get there earlier.
It does.
To get to your corner.
You got it. You nailed it.
That's the problem. You get to the bar, you're like, really? There's 700 Steelers fans here. We're in Tallahassee.
Let's go Steelers!
You're like, why?
It's, oh my God. I got here at 12:15. We got 45 minutes. You're just shouting for no reason. The game's not on. Terry Bradshaw's on the screen. Pipe down.
There's
please.
A lot, you know, so for example, I think because of the success of the Steelers, right? This is true of uber successful franchises in general.
Yep.
It just depends on the era, right? This people my age, I mean, the 70s, it's the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Steelers. That's it. And so you see that reflected with people over the age of 40, basically at these bars, that they're Steelers or Cowboys fans. Now you have Raiders and Packers and, oddly, in this town, Vikings fans everywhere.
Everywhere.
Nobody can explain it to me.
Fantastic people, the best. I have to say that, but it's true.
You do.
Even if I didn't have to.
Think the Knowles will pitch well?
Fascinating. I don't know.
I don't know either. I cannot get a sense. I've had a sense for almost every series this year, and I thought going to Clemson would be problematic. I thought they'd certainly get tested. I thought, in particular, their pitching would get tested. I could not have foreseen the collapse of the two games that we talked about. But I, you know, it's fascinating to me. It's the way they responded in Gainesville against a good offensive club is stunning. So, and you've correctly pointed out all along, it's not like they lack stuff. So, it's this.
Yeah, 100%.
When you're young, and I'm pointing to my head for those listening on the radio, when you're young and you've not been put into the fire and you've not been put under immense pressure of a situation on the road in particular, you just don't know how you're going to respond in those situations, especially while some a-hole in baseball ops over and over after every pitch.
4-4 this week.
So, you know, that's another thing to have to overcome, a stupid-ass earworm that should be banned. But that was responded to. Maybe they're buoyed in a way that we would be shocked by. Look out if that's the case. Look out, because the offense plays for days.
Yeah, so Cam's situation from last week actually mirrors that of the bullpen. Control. Massive control issues. Stuff had a lot of good breaking stuff, but they're spitting on it because you're getting behind. Like, I think he broke off 3 or 4 excellent sliders / breaking balls in the midst of throwing 100 pitches in the first three, you know, 2 1/3, 2 2/3 before he gets bounced. But they're not afraid because you're not getting those calls and you're not establishing the fastball. And you got 97. So I don't know if it was the scout. This is where I'm always, you can't be definitive. I don't know if the scout said, don't throw this team fastballs. Clemson's a fastball.
Because they can
team.
Club.
Right, exactly. So we need to establish breaking balls, pitch backwards. Maybe that was the case. And maybe that's not Cam being afraid to throw 97. But I think at this point, you got to establish 97, 98, because he's doing it with consistency in terms of the velocity, the velo, and then and then get your breaking stuff going. Like, I want to see what the sequencing looks like tonight, but his problem mirrored that of the bullpen.
So I wanted to answer a question. We got to go to break in a second. We're going to bring in Ira Shaffel for a special Thursday little conversation that we did just before the show started. There's a reason for it. It involves Florida State's objection to some of the questionable antics of the ACC in response to the court case. And we'll hear from him in a moment. But the I'm wondering, when you talk about establishing fastball and you're talking about the pitching staff and baseball, it's weird to me. There's a thought, I'm trying to word this carefully if you can't tell, mm-hmm. that one of the guys might have been a front runner who needed to learn something. A couple balls on the edges were called.
Yeah. I think, actually, just watching the season, I don't know if this is something that's happened gradually over the last few years. It hasn't been easy to watch college baseball the last few years. I feel like, generally speaking, the strike zone is tighter, more professional.
It's gotten that way.
Like, if there are missed calls, it are balls that could be called strikes rather than the other way around.
Used to be the opposite, where it was a foot off the plate and you guys get
right,
hung up. Yeah,
right,
it's a little tighter than it used to be.
I feel like sometimes it's a teacup now, and this is still college baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, and guys can get frustrated.
But that's not a complaint. Like, you've got to overcome that. I mean, enough. Jamie Arnold has his first two starts, I thought he got squeezed, and he found a way to get through it, power through, and that's something that you've got to figure out how to do. Sometimes the ump's not with you. But, yeah, there were a couple of those on Saturday. Went, well, heavy right arm. Gotcha.
And Major League Baseball didn't allow for the Pirates to be sold to Mark Cuban, David, and it was because at the time the reputation of Mark Cuban was whatever. I mean, it's baseball being stupid. Woo! Z-Chan, my man!
Holy Jesus! What?
You could have kept it going. He writes, go Braves and go Noles. Certainly go Noles, Z-Chan. Certainly go Noles. Ira joined us this morning, right before we came in, because he's got a piece up on warchant.com that you should go and read, and I wanted to talk to him about it, because some of the language that the ACC and Florida State, How about this? FSU is accusing the ACC of deception. The language used in the most recent complaint by Florida State is interesting on a couple of levels. It's an amended complaint, and they are pointing to that deceitfulness from the ACC. They're also using past tense language describing their presence in the ACC, such as after FSU leaves the ACC. And this is not something they've done before. They've alluded to maybe. They're just saying it now. Ira Shaffel joins us next. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, Orchard TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
Man, you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town, you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you could get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's. Welcome in, Warchant TV, warchant.com. He's Warchant's managing editor. Ira Shaffel. I'm Jeff Cameron, wildly popular talk show host. Ira, deception, outright lies, and peace, say the ACC, or at least their attorneys, in response in Leon County Circuit Court accusing the conference of all of those misrepresentations. You wrote about it for warchant.com. Let's discuss amongst the interesting things here, not only claims of lies and misrepresentations, but also language that suggests Florida State is as good as gone, if you didn't know it already.
Yeah, and to clarify, I don't think the ACC's attorneys use the word lies. That's our word. They went with misrepresentations. So maybe in the next documents they'll use the word lie. But this was from a procedural standpoint. This isn't like a huge filing in the course of a lawsuit. Basically, you know, Florida State filed their lawsuit in their amended lawsuit. The ACC asked for a stay of discovery in this case. They basically want the judge to put a pause on the case in Leon County because they've got their own case that they filed up in North Carolina. They want that to move on before the case in Leon County moves on. So that's all normal. And Florida State filed their response explaining to the judge why they shouldn't do that, why this case should move forward here in Leon County. And so that's the procedural part of it. But there were some interesting things inside of it. Like you said, some of the language Florida State used about, being exiting the ACC almost as if it's a formality. And then also some of the hostilities, you know, this has been kind of the temperature has been rising at each filing from Florida State's first lawsuit to their amended complaint to now here. They just kind of keep raising the level of intensity with their arguments. And does that mean much in terms of the legality of the arguments, or does it mean much in terms of getting out of the conference as quickly as they want to? I don't know. Maybe not. But it shows how basically how broken this relationship is and how determined Florida State is to get out.
Yeah, as you pointed out in the article, the attorneys use a version of the phrase after FSU exits the ACC. I think we all like to read that as Florida State fans. If I could talk on behalf of Florida State fans for a second, that's fun because no more beating around the bush, Ira. I mean, we all know where this is headed, and Florida State has made their intentions very, very clear. And while they did not outright accuse the ACC's attorneys of lying, they did say that they, quote, were fudging the truth and they've been loose with the facts.
Well, those might have been my paraphrasing of what they wrote, but we're all saying the same thing. Yeah, they're basically saying that there's been some bait and switch. They used a word. I don't know if Tom can find it in the document and behind the scenes and pull up the word. It's a word I had never heard of from before, but it basically means sleight of hand or deceit. So I learned a new SAT word reading this document last night. But yeah, it's a and they use different phrases to describe deception. But yeah, you know, I think the change in tone again, the rhetoric you talk about exiting the ACC. If you go back and read the initial lawsuit from Florida State, they never even said we want to leave the ACC. They were very careful to basically just say, if that ever happened. You know, basically, hypothetically speaking, we just want to know what the remedy would be, like what it would cost to get out of this conference if we ever wanted to leave. Not saying we want to leave, but if we ever wanted to leave. And I actually had people high up at Florida State tell me after that lawsuit was filed that, you know, look, we've never said we're leaving. And we've made that clear to the ACC. We're not saying we're leaving. We just want to know what the options are. Then, you know, Clemson filed their lawsuit and they were much more direct and basically said, you're stopping us from leaving the conference with this league, with your rules. We don't like that. We want to move on. So they kind of raised it a little bit. And now Florida State, as I said, three different places in the lawsuit says, basically talks about what's going to happen when Florida State exits the ACC. I mean, and again, it's one word and it's one kind of sentence. And in the normal world, like with the way a lot of us use words, and maybe we don't choose our words carefully, that's one thing. The fact that their attorneys, when filing a legal document, use that phrase three times, I think sends a pretty strong message.
Legerdemain?
Yes.
Legerdemain.
You, good luck for you, buddy. Yeah, I didn't get the pronunciation, but it's a...
It's a noun, it's, skillful use of one's hands when performing conjuring tricks.
In the exactly. They've got Jim Phillips making doing magic tricks. Yeah. But
hey,
yeah.
Hey, don't you do that legerdemaining around here.
And so where they used that was in reference to the affidavit filed by Virginia's president, President Ryan, who I believe that's his name, who basically Jim Ryan, who said that the ACC had no option but to sue Florida State. This kind of goes back to why the ACC sued Florida State before Florida State had even sued to leave the conference. And, you know, they said that Florida State breached their contract. Well, Florida State's point is, how could you file a document saying we breached our contract when we hadn't even filed our complaint yet? So we hadn't breached anything. And then on top of that, they used a phrase throughout the Virginia president's affidavit and then also in their amended complaint, they used a phrase about I can't remember, it's a three-word phrase, but maybe Tom can help us out with that. But they use the same phrase from the ESPN agreement, basically saying this part of the ESPN contract compelled us as the ACC to do everything we can to protect that contract. We couldn't let this go on because our duty to ESPN is to do everything we can to fight to preserve this contract. So then the judge in North Carolina last week, and I don't know if this was written about or not, but these documents are in the filing from last night. The judge in North Carolina asked ACC and FSU, where are you guys getting this phrase? What exactly does it mean in terms of this contract? So the ACC again was like, well, we're not going to give you the whole contract, but we'll give you that language. And they sent them that language and it's included in my article. It doesn't say anything like that. And so Florida State again is saying they misrepresented to the court that they had to do this. They had to file this lawsuit. But nothing in that contract actually says that. Commercially reasonable efforts. Thanks,
yeah.
Tom.
Yeah, is, no, I was just phrase. About to say it. It is present throughout your article there that is referenced, commercially reasonable efforts. But this is, again, part of the sleight of hand that they're sort of alleging here or using or positing towards the ACC. They're saying, look, you didn't have to do that. Actually, if you look at this and if we had the whole picture, if we read everything and not snippets of what you presented, then we would see that it wasn't a requirement that you sue Florida State is what they're saying.
Yeah. And that's the case they are really pushing. And Florida State started doing this pretty early on. You know, if you go back to remember before they even filed the lawsuit, I believe it was before the lawsuit, you know, Florida's attorney general asked for the ESPN contracts to be made public or to be sent to her office. She wanted to look over them. Then Florida State talked about it some. Clemson really hammered that point home that the ESPN contract needs to be released to both parties so they can see it. From our understanding, you know, Florida State and all these other schools sent attorneys to North Carolina last year to look at all the documents. And I thought they had seen the whole entire ESPN documents, and maybe they did, but maybe their point is they want to be able to actually have it in their hands, not just have to go to the ACC offices to look at it. Or it sounds like maybe they didn't get to see the whole document when they were up there visiting. I'm not sure. It's hard to know what the ACC is saying is confidential and these schools can't see. But I think that goes back to the root argument. Neither one of us are attorneys, but you're telling us we're beholden to this contract, a contract that we can't even see. So how can we be parties of it? It's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, as layman, it seems patently absurd that I would be bound by something I'm not allowed to even read. I'm not even allowed to look at. Like, I mean, this doesn't make any sense, right? So, I mean, again, we don't know. I mean, maybe there's legal recourse for all of this. Maybe there's not. I don't know. But obviously, there seems to be mounting frustration amongst members of the ACC. It's not any longer just Florida State. Now it's Clemson and Florida State. And it seems to be North Carolina as well. And this list is only going to grow, methinks, given what the language is in stories like the one you've written here. I mean, we're starting to see this ratcheted up, is your point. And I think now all the gloves are off, obviously.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. So the next big date in this case is April 9th. That's when the Leon County course is supposed to move forward. You know, the judge
also
in North
when the judge said he would have an answer. For yeah, the North
so, yeah. Exactly. So the judge in North Carolina said he would have his response to Florida State's request to dismiss that case up there or stay it up there by April 9th so that the judge in Leon County can act with knowledge of how they feel up there. So, you know, we still have a little over a week before that comes. So we'll see how quickly those rulings come and where they favor, which way they favor. But, you know, it just feels like, again, you know, because the big question I think on FSU fans' minds is, when can Florida State get out and what's it going to cost? And probably more so just when can they get the hell out? But the cost is a big part. Well, again, I think this is every time Florida State files a document like this, it just seems like the door is closing almost completely. I mean, I had people at FSU saying as of, you know, in recent weeks or months, anyway, the last month or two, that, you know, the door's open. Like if the ACC wants to come back and say, look, Florida State and Clemson, you guys get 30% of the TV revenue and everybody else splits the rest, then maybe they would stay. You know, that door was a possibility. The way they're writing now, it just seems like it's a foregone conclusion, which I don't think anybody around Tallahassee is complaining about.
Our own Ira Schaffel doing the best reporting on this story, gaining insight by the day. Make sure you check into War Chant TV. And of course, the article is on warchant.com. More as it presents itself, Ira. Another discussion you and I will have in a separate video or maybe on the Jeff Cameron Show or somewhere along the way is how it is that everybody seems to have a pretty clear understanding that in the not too distant future, Florida State will not be a member of this conference. And yet if you read national writers, they would have you believe there's zero chance Florida State's getting out of this and they're not desired by any conference in America. So the disconnect continues nationally. Luckily, locally, we have you and people like you do a great job. So we appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you again real soon. Until next time, everybody, make sure you subscribe to War Chant TV and warchant.com to get the latest on FSU's fight to get out of the ACC.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after. after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com. Fascinating to see what Mike has to say post-scrimmage about who stood out. I'm going to guess that the defense, once we go live and it's on, is going to have a better day than the offense. And that is typically the case. Nobody should be alarmed. It's your annual reminder that defense is always ahead of offense, especially early in camp. This being the first scrimmage and no more, kind of setting up the offense for success. Rather, we're live and I can put my hands on you now, and so things change.
The defense should be a little perturbed after Tuesday. A lot of success for the offense. It doesn't mean that they were, you know, outright overwhelmingly dominant, but more than I can remember in most spring practices, more success for the offense.
I think, Tom, one of the things that's going to happen and be very consistent in this camp is that there won't be a practice where if they're going live scrimmaging or anything close to it, 11-on-11s, whatever it might be, for even just your normal practices, there won't be a stretch of time with all the weapons that Florida State has in which a big play or two isn't made. They just got too many guys that are going to win some one-on-ones. They've got too much speed where somebody's going to take a bad angle or somebody's going to slip or whatever it's going to be, and a big play is what is going to result. And that's why we got so excited about the influx of speed, because that's what speed does. It puts a lot of pressure on you as a defense to do everything right. One wrong move and somebody's out the gate, as Jimbo would say. And they have a lot of guys that can out the gate this thing more than they did a year ago. A lot more than they did a year ago is what I'm going to tell you. So that wouldn't surprise me after every one of these reports is that, hey, you know, I thought the defense got the better of the day. And I'm just talking like pretending I'm Coach Norvell after a scrimmage, you know, felt like the defense got the better of the day, saw some good things on offense. And then you get a report that somebody had a 98-yard touchdown. Like, it's just going to be, oh, well, somebody missed a tackle on Jalen Lucas and he was gone.
Right. Well, that's going to happen if you miss a tackle on Jalen Lucas.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing, and I believe it happens with a couple of the wide receivers as well. This has been, so far, a really good camp for Destin Hill. And that blazing speed we were promised 10 years ago when he committed to Florida State, and that we once described as either a unicorn-like figure in the lore of Florida State recruiting, became real. And then all of a sudden we began to realize, oh, man, he came ready-made. And then unfortunately very early on in the season he got hurt, but it's back. That speed is back.
Who didn't get hurt?
Correct. But fortunately he's back, and you see what he's capable of. And again, I think the kid, is it Jalen Brown?
Jalen
Brown from LSU. He's got wheels. He's hit on some big plays. Obviously, Benson. They got guys. They've got some home run hitters here.
Do you think that Jalen Brown can be a consistent contributor this year? Like, I feel like that's a crowded depth chart, and they've got some fast dudes. So maybe. You watch more skill than me, so
I just think it's a little early. I want to see, I want to find out how many reps he's getting when we start going live like this. By the time we get to the fall, who knows? When you bring in, I mean, we kind of change the way we view what's possible as the floor of talent's raised. And so when you bring in a freshman or a redshirt freshman or a guy that's, really early in his career, in the past, you'd kind of think, well, I don't, maybe they'll work him in some, but you've got guys that were recruited to Alabama, that were recruited to Georgia, that were recruited to LSU. Those kinds of guys can maybe hit the ground running and play.
Well, what's interesting, too, is it might be a player that we're not talking a whole lot about right now, but if we're projecting, and I think reasonably so, that two or three veteran receivers are probably going to look at options elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
or two or three receivers in general. It's just, it's such a crowded room. It's almost like that third level in the depth chart, in a way, is a little bit more important for the 2024 football season, because those guys are just going to, by default, move up the charts.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have an opportunity in fall camp, because you've got guys that are up against it currently on the roster that are saying, I got to go play. I got to go play somewhere. So for a LaWayne McCoy or a Dre Jacobs or a Jaylen Brown, if you have a good camp, but there are some dudes that have been here a while ahead of you, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. You're about to get some more reps in the fall.
Really tough task for coaches all over the country, but especially those with, oddly enough, deep and talented rosters, is trying to teach young men that are 18 and 19 years old the value of patience. Good luck with that. It's nearly impossible for me on a daily basis with my 16-year-old in the house when we're talking about who gets food first, let alone something that you'd be starved for, like playing time for these guys. So I think, you know, that's the hard part when they have the option. I could just leave, and they've got people whispering in their ear about the possibilities elsewhere, much of which is overblown in terms of NIL money that they're told they could get, starting time, playing time, reps, whatever it might be considered. A lot of times you find out after the fact that it's not that it's all cracked up to be. We've seen this already with some people that have left here. We've already found out that there's this great lament from some people. Now, others would never want to admit it, but that's the reality. It's why I feel bad in some cases for some of the kids that get terrible advice, or who are maybe naive, of course, just by age, and whose parents aren't savvy enough to know the difference that they're being promised a pot of gold that doesn't exist, and they have something good here in their hand right now that is established that they should maybe think about before they turn their back.
Yeah, here's something for the suggestion box for the Battle's End. Maybe you bring in a kid who's got a story that sounds a whole like that as a guest speaker. You know, maybe you could pay him a couple of bucks, let him stay, you know, in town for a few days.
Yeah.
Can't be a part of the program, but you could come by and tell the kids, hey, hang on a minute.
It's not what you think
out
there.
It's not what you think. You can make up some of the difference of what they've lost.
Well, I mean, this is the next step. We're learning so much, and this is going to be a really big moment in this early, early shift in college football and what's happened with all of the changes, the good, the bad, the ugly. A lot of people, we touched on it this week, it's been this projected this way nationally, but I think even more locally with people we talk to, you do get a sense that there will be some upheaval. You know, you're going to see a lot of change. You're going to see a lot of kids who take advantage of the opportunity of unlimited transfers. And you might see some names, some real names that sting a little bit. We don't know, but it seems likely that you will at a lot of schools, not just here, that take it on down the road for opportunity. But how that plays out in the next 2 years will be critical to how NIL and transfer rules and the future of college football is shaped and what rules are put in place. Once we get to a big two, once we get to the primary two is what we should call them, the rules will change because they'll make their own. That's going to happen. They're going to break away, and they're going to say, okay, now that we've done this and now that we're out, and the NCAA never had any power to begin with, but we do, so here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It's all going to shift.
I think so. Players would be penalized for movement between the two conferences. Now, if you want to go play at a lesser conference, yeah, you could abide by the NCAA.
Take it on down the road. Have a good day.
But if you want to be with this alliance, the real one, Jim, the one that's going to stick between these two conferences, you got to sit for a year, because their coaches are going to beg for it, and they would be right to.
But also the players are going to be compensated.
Yeah.
So this isn't like the old days. Like, you can demand certain things of players once the field has changed, where I say to you, well, no, here's the deal. You're going to get this, this, and this, and you never had it in the past. Oh, by the way, it comes with stipulations. You're not going to willy-nilly just do whatever the hell you want. Yeah. Those were the days of the NCAA being told by the courts, go to hell. That's not us.
Well, maybe they should institute something like the coaches have with a buyout. If you want to leave, I mean, you can buy us out, but we have your rights at present. So for the low, low price of
whatever that number was,
triple what your 1 year agreement would be, you can have your rights back. Now, is there a university out there, young man, that is so desperate for your services?
Well, and there will be.
Yeah, for like three kids?
Yes, correct.
And then they get the negotiation to get the raise that they want with the kid, with the school that they're currently at. But maybe that's the way to do it, is set up a buyout system.
I just, it's funny. It's human nature. It's already happening. I see it on our message boards on warchant.com. I get asked about it when I'm out and about. I see it in my email inbox on Twitter. We tend to fear what we're going to lose as opposed to what we've gained. We do not harp on the things that we really have been enriched by and enjoy. We think about all that's going out the door, right? And or what could potentially happen. And so I see it already. People kind of gearing up, mentally preparing themselves for a name that, not unlike what happened to you at the running back position, Tom, your favorite player,
Rodney Hill,
got hoodwinked.
Yeah.
Thought he knew more than he did, and his parents and others, perhaps with some bad advice.
I mean, perhaps, allegedly. Allegedly. Perhaps that's a guy that I think should maybe be in the lecture circuit at Florida State.
Maybe he is.
Cautionary tale.
Right. So what you do is you kind of you get your defenses up and say, man, I really have always kind of liked what I'm hearing about so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, but they're not exactly written up in the daily practice reports in the way that I thought they'd be. Perhaps are they contenders to take it on down the road before they realize their potential? That's the hardest part. It's a reminder that a lot of guys that come in from high school, I don't care if they're five stars or not, they don't hit the ground running when they get to college. College is hard. It's different. You're alone for the first time away from your family unit. You're figuring out the social aspect. It's much harder work. The dudes you're playing against are bigger, stronger, faster. Sometimes it takes 2.5 years, and that's not a big deal. It was never a big deal in the past. It's okay that you don't really begin to realize your potential in college football sometimes until you're a junior. A redshirt junior in many cases. But nobody wants to wait on that anymore. This isn't a me, hey, get off my lawn, old man moment. It's just the reality is some people take a little while, but with the unlimited transfer rule, the kids don't necessarily want to sit around and wait it out.
Yeah, they don't want to see it through. And it's also, it's the Sam Bradford effect. You know, this is before rookie salaries had a cap on.
Right.
If you, the number one overall pick at 21 years old, is going to make more money than any quarterback in football, you better be good today. And the way that the structure is right now, from what I hear in the NIL circuit, high schoolers are expensive.
In certain positions, that's true.
The higher the dollar amount, the more I expect of you immediately. But it's so backwards. Like, imagine if Bradford was a backup for three seasons and he was the highest paid. Like, that's kind of... In high school to college, you should be waiting a little bit to have the body mature.
Well, and I it's interesting. This could carry over to the conversation about what's best in the NFL, too. I mean, this latest situation with Jordan Love that you're watching is another case for letting a guy sit behind a veteran and build into something. It's really a case-by-case basis. But those are two very different discussions because of the salary cap and the things that we're talking about in the NFL. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with Jeff Cameron, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.